peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Well, hello. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. This is episode number 160, and it's also Advent, officially. So coming up on the show today, a real-life Christmas miracle story that I think is going to tickle you today, as we expect that in this time of Advent. And it's one from our listeners, too, so really fun to be able to share that. Brooke's favorite things, it's a sacramental, a few Christmas gift ideas. And I want to start off with a little story time. It's actually a little excerpt from a book that was recommended by one of our listeners last year. And I can actually remember where I was when the feedback came in, because it was so animated, so enthusiastic from our listener, Mark. And in the middle of reading Carol Houselander's Read of God, I immediately ordered it. But by the time I got home from the Holy Land and we were doing a few events, I never really got into the book. I started reading it over the last year, but man, has it hit me right between the eyes as we begin Advent. And I want to share a little excerpt with you, because the mission for us is to prepare him room, right? That he comes in our hearts anew, the dirty stable that we are, and we are summoned to find a place for him, a dwelling. And just as our Lord grew in the womb of Mary, that we are able to nurture and grow and give birth to him into the world. And in the emptiness of that space, how is he filling it and being formed? That's the question here where we start. She says, our own effort will consist in sifting and sorting out everything that is not essential and that fills up space and silence in us, and in discovering what sort of shape this emptiness in us is. From this, we shall learn what sort of purpose God has for us, in what way we are to fulfill the work of giving Christ life in us. Are we reed pipes? Is he waiting to live lyrically through us? Are we chalices? Does he ask to be sacrificed in us? Are we nests? Does he desire of us a warm, sweet abiding in domestic life at home? These are only some of the possible forms of holy, pure virginity in spirit. Each person may find some quite different form, his own secret. And she talks about how Advent is the season of the secret. Because in one moment, in one yes, the seed of the incarnation was planted in the womb of Mary. And I'm just going to read. It's so hard. I'm really trying to just read small excerpts, because this whole book, one page, is richer than the other. But that's one of the great concepts that I love. And I especially loved it as a homemaker now, feeling like this is the vocation of Our Lady. And I know it, and I am so inspired by it. But every now and then, it just feels good to be wrapped in that truth. It almost seems as if God's becoming man and being born of a woman were ordinary. The whole thing was to happen secretly. The one thing he did ask of her was the gift of her humanity. She was to give him her body and soul unconditionally. And what in this new light would have seemed absurdly trivial to anyone but the Christ bride of wisdom, she was to give him her daily life. And outwardly, it would not differ from the life that she would have led if she had not been chosen to be the bride of the Spirit and the mother of the God of all. He asked for her ordinary life with Joseph, the hands, the feet, the heart, the waking, sleeping, and eating that were forming Christ were to form him in service to Joseph as well. God did mean it to be the ordinary thing, for it is his will that Christ shall be born in every human being's life, and not as a rule through extraordinary things, but through ordinary daily life and the human love that people give to one another. Our Lady said yes, and she said yes for us all. It was as if the human race were a little dark house without light or air, locked and latched. The wind of the Spirit had beaten on the door, rattled the windows, tapped on the dark glass with the tiny hands of flowers, flung golden seed against it. Even in hours of storm, lashed it with the boughs of a great tree. The prophecy of the cross. And yet the Spirit was outside. But one day, a girl opened the door, and the little house was swept pure and sweet by the wind. Seas of light swept through it, and the light remained in it. And in that little house, a child was born, and the child was God. Our Lady said yes for the human race. Each one of us must echo that yes for our own lives. We are all asked if we will surrender what we are, our humanity, our flesh and blood, to the Holy Spirit and allow Christ to fill the emptiness formed by the particular shape of our life. Isn't that odd? That's like one page. The whole book is like that. I also like the concept where she talks about how Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary was dependent. She brought him everywhere she went. And so now he comes to us as host, and we must bring him into everywhere we go. It is us, our job. And I know Teresa of Avila talks about that. He has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. But in this season of light, I think it's so important to remember that, because if not us bringing the light and bringing peace, who will? It's our responsibility and privilege and honor. So just wanted to share that. I love it. Really proud of myself that I did it without crying. So it's called The Read of God, and that is Carol Houselander. And hopefully a nice little companion to Choose Hope. I just want to stop and thank everybody. Most of you probably have that book in your hands in your home by now, I hope. And the feedback has started to come in. So I just wanted to thank you so much. And I know for the past few shows in particular, that's kind of been the running, drumming theme, but it really is such a blessing, especially hearing feedback. Christina, a friend of the show, has a pretty miraculous story, and she was kind enough to record it, because if I hadn't listened with my own ears, I don't know that I would have even believed it. But God is in the business of giving us what we need right when we need it, and sometimes in the most unexpected places. So with that, check out Christina's awesome story about the unlikely way one man came upon Choose Hope.
Hi, Brooke. It's Christina. I have a story to share about the Choose Hope devotional. Last Sunday, I took a copy of the devotional to Mass with me to give to my parish priest. Three of us from the same parish are contributors, so I thought that he would enjoy a copy of it. So he calls me later that evening and he says he has a story to tell me. I said, okay, let me hear your story. He said when he pulled in his driveway, he realized it was garbage day. He said, you know how you go through the house, you collect the garbage. And so he was doing that, and he had put the book that I gave him, Choose Hope, his tablet, and the new missal for the liturgical year on top of his car. Went inside, and he was going to another parishioner's house to have dinner. So he left after he took out the garbage and did not remove the things from on top of the car. So he pulled out, he said, pretty slowly, and he turned and he drove, and he saw a guy walking his dog, and he kept going. And he goes to the family's house that he's having dinner for, and he gets a phone call from another parishioner who was a highway patrolman. And he says, Father, are you missing something? And he's like, what? Am I supposed to be at a meeting? What's going on? He said, no, your tablet and your books. And he's like, oh my gosh. Turns out that the guy who was walking his dog found the tablet and the missal and Choose Hope. Looked on the front of the tablet, saw our priest's name. It didn't say Father, it just said his first and last name. Looked him up on Facebook and saw that they had a mutual friend, which was this highway patrolman. The highway patrolman apparently had arrested this guy for a DUI a few years back. The guy got his life together, kept in touch with the patrolman, and they were Facebook friends. So he reached out to him on Facebook and he said, hey, do you know this guy? And he's like, yeah, he's my parish priest. Why? And he said, well, I found this tablet. It's got his name on it and these two books. And he said, okay. So they arranged to meet at Burger King. He went to get the books. And the guy said all he wanted in return was a copy of Choose Hope because of his story and how he's chosen hope. And sorry, it makes me get a little choked up because of God, how God works and how amazing and incredible that is, that it flew off the top of my priest's car and landed in this guy's hand, and he wanted a copy. So needless to say, I dropped a copy off at the parish on Monday, and the highway patrolman's going to get it to this guy, and he's going to have a copy of Choose Hope. So all the contributors, All the supporters, everyone who has purchased a copy and read it, God bless you. And thank you. Thank you for all your just dedication to the podcast and everything. God bless. Bye.
Philippians 4:19, and my God will fully supply your every need according to his glorious riches in the Messiah Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you so much, Christina, for sharing that. And I hope that your Advent is like that, where it might not be in a flash, like a flying devotional off the car, but even the falling snow or the sun peeking through the clouds, that you are seized by the presence of God and blessed by the truth of how he provides. Thank you so much again to Christina.
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting, big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
And this is it. We are in the season of favorite things. And you know I'm no Oprah, so I'm not going to be able to provide you a car and give you all those goodies. But I hope I can give you some discounts and pretty delightful sacramentals and ideas, some suggestions this year. So I'm going to go through the list, starting with one that just this morning on the way to school, my kids were asking about, and when's this book going to come in the mail? So it's a book. Over the summer, we read Life with a Seal by Jesse Eitzler. So I talked about it. I still highly recommend it, but it was a read aloud because it does have some profanity. It's not for kids. And I did offer, I think, a pretty good disclaimer, but for us, it was a read aloud. So I was able to omit those words, kind of keep it clean. And it was a winner, really motivational. So now the Navy SEAL that was the subject of that book is out with his own motivational masterpiece. So that's the first pick in Brooke's favorite things, and that is David Goggins. The book is called You Can't Hurt Me. And Goggins is someone I have followed for years and years, working at The Fish, the radio station. I mean, years ago, I stumbled on one of his videos talking about how he ran like marathons, half marathons almost every day. And to the normal bystander, we might look at that now and go, yeah, I mean, that's way extreme. But also recognizing, I don't think he's doing this for vainglory or fame, but there's a deeper drive. So this whole book, just a little bit of his bio, he is a retired Navy SEAL, the only member of the U.S. Armed Forces to complete SEAL training and U.S. Army Ranger School. He's also an Air Force Tactical Air Controller and at one point held the pull-up record, I think. And that's like the very tip of the iceberg. And it didn't come easy. And that's what the book is about. So if you've ever had a challenge to surmount, if you've ever had to dig deep and find your mental toughness, this is a book for you. And I want to play a clip so that you get a sense of who he is. Take a listen.
And when you get to that point in your life and no one is there to really help you out, you have to figure some things out. So what made me who I am today is basically that cracked foundation and not liking it. So I had to learn how to mend that cracked foundation alone. And what happens is you have to really develop a lot of mental toughness. But to me, mental toughness wasn't enough. I had to really develop a calloused mind. So I had a victim mentality. I was a victim. Everybody messed my life up. My dad, society, my mom, whatever it may be, I was dealt a bad hand. And so it gives you a victim mentality. So I developed a way to get over the victim's mentality. And it was through callousing your mind. So I was literally callousing over the victim's mentality.
So we pre-ordered that book. Again, it's called You Can't Hurt Me, and it's officially out now. I would recommend it, honestly, for like a grown man or maybe an older teenager, and not for everybody, because he swears a lot. And it may be too abrasive, too rough for some people. So do your research on that. But the actual core message, and the other thing, he would have made like an awesome desert father. It just doesn't seem like it's matched or married with the faith. I don't know. I don't know his interior life, but I know for each one of us, we can activate that aspect of it. And there's no telling where those graces will take us. And he talks about all that is necessary to keep going is the next breath. So that's number one. And on that note, I guess the same theme is the Combat Rosary. I actually received one from my son. It was from a listener who had heard that Gabe had enlisted in the U.S. Army Reserves. And so You may already know the story. I'm a big fan of rugged rosaries, and so I know that they sell one like this. It is similar to the U.S. government World War I issue rosaries. Did you know servicemen during World War I received a rosary that was standard issue? And so there's a replica that was made, and that's on rugged rosaries. But also, this is from Father Richard Heilman, and Patty, one of our listeners, she shared a little bit of the excerpt with me about how it came to be. I'm just going to read a little bit of it and why I think it would make a really great gift. It's from Father Richard, and he says, "One day I happened upon a very intriguing rosary among some of the collector's website. It was tough, it's strong, it had a kind of gravitas to it. It was truly a man's rosary." He goes on then to say that it was the World War I rosary. "And after I purchased one of them," he says, "I looked at this masculine and muscular rosary and said to myself, the men need to have this. However, I wasn't about to go around playing the high collector's price of original military rosaries, so I began developing a prototype for the bead portion of this new rosary for men, based on the original 1916 military rosary. And here it is." He says, "It's amazing. It has a lustrous silver glow. It's weighty. It is manly." He said, "I didn't want to make a replica of the exact original. I wanted to respect the original, but also wanted to make one based for us warriors here and now, the church militant. And it was time to choose the most powerful medals and crucifix for this assault weapon." He goes on to explain the significance, like the pardon crucifix. He said, "It's the only crucifix that I know that gives indulgences for simply carrying it or kissing it." I was reading this. It's really cool packaging. It's almost like, I don't want to say a Band-Aid tin, because it's got the army green, so it looks way tougher. And then you open it, and inside is the rosary. It's in a pouch. It was also given to all of the Swiss Guard, and they now carry. So you can see that description, as well as all the notes about the miraculous medals and the pardon crucifix and the story behind it. So I give that a total thumbs up. That is the combat rosary, if you're looking for another good gift idea. And then for the ladies, a total random side note. I'm sorry, girls. I got all these really good, but you know, sometimes I get excited about this kind of stuff. If you are looking for a new church coat or maybe office coat, J. Crew has a great deal right now. It's their city coat. I have not really ever been able to afford J. Crew, so I don't really know like all of their classic stuff. But this one, I guess, is perpetually a bestseller. Great quality, style, tailoring across the board. It's usually $228, which is like a fortune in my world. But right now, it's on sale for $98. So you have to go to the outlet, I think it is. But I did my research on this, and I feel like it's a really good deal. So it comes in camel and gray and black and red and green. Really beautiful. I will link it up in the show notes. But if you're looking for a new church coat, I have to go that route and say that that would be a good gift idea. And that's it. I have a million children's books that I could recommend. Of course, you know I'm going to say Choose Hope. But I am so bombarded by social media and the sales and the deals and favorite things online. So I'm going to keep it as simple as possible and just wanted to share those few with you. And as a PS, if you are looking for a super doozy Christmas gift, of course, you can always join us on our trip to the Holy Land, our pilgrimage coming up in March, 3 months away. Louise just signed up and she left some feedback about it. Check it out.
Good morning, Brooke. I'd like to just leave a few thoughts with your podcast listeners about why I would like to go to the Holy Land with you. Pilgrimage is a wonderful time to set aside days to renew your faith and to walk where Jesus walked, to see where he performed his miracles, and also to be with a group of fellow believers is an awesome experience. If any of you are interested or thinking about it, I would ask that you pray about it. I know that it is expensive for a lot of people, but trust me, this will be my 7th, I believe, pilgrimage, my first to the Holy Land. God will provide a way if you are supposed to go. Thank you, Brooke, for letting me leave a few words about the pilgrimage. And I'm very excited to go, and especially with this group. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Louise. And I will tell you, there is a reason why we went last year, came home, and I booked another pilgrimage right back to the same place with Brother John Michael Paul, because we've had requests for Ireland, Poland, Greece, always Italy, but there is something supremely sacred about the Holy Land, and it's going to be an honor to go. And of course, you know, the details will be linked up in the show notes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Louise. She was also with us in Italy this spring, and that was unforgettable. So really excited to be able to have another trip and go with Louise. I will also on the show notes post the information about the Combat Rosary, the David Goggins book, and the J. Crew coat. You know, I've got to do that while I'm at it too. So I hope that your Advent is blessed, that it is covered in graces filled with hope every morning as you get up and throughout your days. And I can't believe it, but we have two more episodes before we wrap up the season of Good Things Radio, and we'll then return in January. But December 17th is our last show, so let me know if you have a favorite thing, a prayer, a devotion, or a topic that you would like me to cover in these next few weeks as we bring you the concluding shows for 2018. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. For any production needs you might have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. As we anticipate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and all the wonderful feast days that we have this month, we ask for Our Lady's intercession and rejoice in her fiat. Until next time, friends, God bless you. Peace and love.